You know, one of our desires for you as we come here is that you abound. That you abound in faith. That you abound in love. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, incidentally, while you're looking at that, if any of you have seen a cloth Bible, I believe it's blue. Susan Blackwood has lost her Bible, and it has a cloth cover on it, and it has some stationery in the back. So it really would be good if you didn't take that home with you. All right? 2 Corinthians 8:7. Paul says, "But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness, and in the love which we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also." Now, what Paul is talking about specifically here is the gracious work of giving. And Paul felt like that unless the people that he ministered to, unless they abounded in faith, in love, in utterance, in knowledge, in their earnestness, but also unless they abounded in giving, then they would not be what God wanted them to be. And so this morning we're going to do a little Bible study. And I want you to, we're going to look at some passages, and I want you to try to draw principles for them. Now, just to warm up, turn to 1 Corinthians 16:2. And I want you to read that one verse and see what principles you can come up with out of that one verse regarding giving. And Paul is talking specifically about giving when he talks about laying something aside. So that he's talking in verse 1 about the collection for the saints. He's talking about money. And they're going to come and pick it up from them later, so he wants them to lay it aside. Now look at verse 2 and take just a moment and see what... I'll just give you a hint. See if you can come up with three principles from verse 2. If you have a sheet of paper, just jot down the principles you see in this. It's always more exciting if you discover something than if someone tells you. See what principles you see. First great principle you learn in Bible study is observation. Ask reverse questions. Try to observe, see how many principles and things you see in that verse. There may be more than three, but at least take a look. Okay, if you've seen a principle, someone just where you are, stand up and tell us what you saw. Okay, Rod?
You can set aside something specifically just for giving.
Okay. You set aside something specifically for giving. Okay, now, on the what basis do you make that decision on? I mean, how much... You're going to set aside something for giving, but what basis do you decide how much you'll give? Okay. That you set aside something as you've prospered, right? In other words, it has something to do. How much you give has something to do with how much you have, right? Okay? So you're going to give proportionally according to the way God's blessed you is one way to say it. I don't know how you say it, but you set aside to give according to, we're going to see this later, according to ability, according to the way you've prospered. All right? Very good. What other principle do you see? Okay.
Regularly.
Okay. One is give regularly, up on the first day of the week. I think that's the idea. They came together to worship on the first day of the week, so that's when they would do it. But it's the idea of give systematically. You don't just, give, you hear of a project every once in a while. You ought to have a systematic, regular plan of giving. All right? So you give regularly. What else do you see?
Give out of your first fruits.
Okay. Does the verse say that?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Now and there are other places where you see this in Scripture. We're trying to see exactly what this verse says. Now, who's to give in this verse? How many are to give? Okay, each one. That's another principle, isn't it? Everyone needs to have a system of giving. Okay, so are there at least three? And perhaps others here. Paul wanted him to do this. He was coming to pick up that offering, and he wanted him to lay it aside so that when he came, they wouldn't have to gather it up, in a sense, that they have to go around and get it from people. They've already set it aside. Okay, so at least three principles there. Everyone gives. You give according to the way God blesses you, and you give regularly. Now, turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians 8. And I want you to start with your pencil and your paper in hand. And let me give you a little bit of background just to tell you what's happening. There's been a great drought in Jerusalem, and the saints are in need. Paul is way over in Macedonia. He's been over through Philippi and Thessalonica, and he's in Corinth. And he's actually writing a letter to the people in Corinth. And he says to them in this letter, now, as much as a year ago you had planned to give an offering. And you're going to see later how Titus had come to them. And he said, now, I want you to complete what you started. So that's kind of the context. They're taking up an offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem. They've not seen those poor saints in Jerusalem. They don't know them, but they've just heard this tremendous need there. And so they have decided they want to help. Now, that's kind of the background. So if you will, I want you to read 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 14. And just take a few minutes and read that. And with your pencil in hand, jot down observations you make concerning giving out of those verses. take a couple more minutes. Okay, what do you see in the first couple of verses? Someone, what ideas or principles did you see here from the scripture in the first couple of verses? Someone just stand up and speak with both lungs so we can all hear.
In verse 2, their giving was the result of abundant joy.
Okay, terrific. There was a tremendous joy in their life, and that was a wellspring out of which they gave, right? What else you see in verse 2?
Verse 1, I thought the giving is a grace.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. Giving is a grace, and you see it all through this passage in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. It's spoken of as a grace. You know, we often think of, too many people think of giving as a work. It's only the grace of God working in our lives that would ever cause us to want to give. Okay? Very good. Now, what else from verse 2? Anybody see anything else in verse 1 or 2? What was those? Okay.
I was just going to say, just the fact that they didn't just think of themselves, because it says that out of their extreme poverty,
okay.
They said they wanted to
do it. All right. These people were. Is anybody here in extreme poverty? Would you lift your hand? I mean, extreme poverty. And what else did we know about their condition from that verse?
Even though they didn't have very much.
All right. All right. And what else do you see?
They were
under affliction. I mean, these people were going through it, weren't they? Hard, hard time. I mean, they were. Anybody here afflicted? Well, you may be in some ways, but I doubt that it approached what was happening with these people. So they were afflicted, and they had deep poverty, but they had a tremendous joy, and out of this, although they were afflicted and they were in deep poverty, they had a tremendous joy, and out of this came what? Verse 2. Wealth of their liberality. So they were very, very liberal. Although if you looked at their condition, you'd think, hey, they really shouldn't be. Look at verse 4. Let's skip to verse 4. These people begged to have a part. Apparently Paul didn't think they would do very much or possibly, but these people literally begged to have a part. They entreated us. They pleaded with us. Paul, we want to have a part in this. And so they actually begged to do it. Okay? What do you see in verse... anything else in verse 2 or 3? Okay, they wanted to give. Okay. They gave of their own accord. You see this even in verse 4, then begging. So it wasn't something that was forced on them. It was something they wanted to do. All right. You see anything else in verse 3? Okay. They gave out of their ability and even beyond their ability. You would think that people that had this much poverty wouldn't be able to give that much. So they gave out of their ability and even beyond what it looked like their ability would be. And see, that's grace giving, because they were trusting God for that. Okay, you see anything else in verse 4 or 5, anywhere along here, the next thing you see? What about verse 5? What do you notice there?
Giving's a privilege.
All right. Giving's a privilege. What else you see in verse 5? All right. So giving really starts, first of all, with giving yourself to the Lord. And if it's going to be real giving, the kind of giving we've been reading about, that's where it has to start. Now I want you to notice something in verse 5. Paul said they did this not as we expected. Even it was more than Paul expected. But he said, first of all, they gave themselves to the Lord. And then Paul said they also gave themselves to us by the will of the Lord. Now, just a little sidelight here, just like in your situation. There's times in which, I mean, you should give yourself to the Lord, but you also ought to give yourself to those people who are leading you by the will of God. I mean, these people were very, very available to Paul. And that's what many, many of you here do. You may never have realized that. But it's very, very biblical not only to give yourself to the Lord, but also give yourself to those God's placed in leadership over you according to the will of the Lord. Because that's the only way you can be trained and be helped. And that's exactly what had happened with them. So, man, they gave themselves to the Lord. And in what? I mean, they gave themselves to Paul and these people to do whatever they could to forward the cause of Christ. All right? What else do you see? On down through the verses. What about verse 6? Or whatever. Okay.
I'm coming along with grace. It talks about the grace of giving. Now, grace is the ability to desire to do God's will. And so this whole attitude towards giving is created, again, through the Spirit.
Right.
And thereby we are doing God's will.
Good. Good. All right. Anything else? Back up like in verse 6. Do you notice anything? Okay, Titus had been there and they'd made a beginning. They'd started. But what does he say now they're to do? What's that? Okay, they're to finish it. You've started. Now finish it. You're going to see this again and again, that they are to complete it. Look at verse 11. But now finish doing it also. There's a readiness. You had a desire to do it. Now complete it by your own ability. You see this ability. You saw that up in verse 3. You see it again in verse 11. Okay. What else do you see?
In verse 7, it talks about giving is being just as important as any other spiritual attribute we try to get, like holiness or any other goal we have. Giving is just as important as those.
Okay. He does list this right in here with faith and love. Knowledge, utterance, earnestness, and the grace of giving is listed right in that also. Okay? You see anything in verse 8? Is there anything that
have a proof of your love?
Okay. Giving is a proof of your love. One of the ways these people knew that they were loved is because people gave. And he said that's one of the ways. I'm speaking this not as a command, you know, and he's already said that they did it of their own accord, their own desire. They even begged to have a part. But he says, but it's proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love. This is one way love is proven. When you see a man that's hungry and you say, be you, or he's cold and you say, be you warmed and filled, God bless you, go on your way. He says this is not love. That's what James says. Okay? You see anything else down through here?
It's completely voluntary.
Okay? It's voluntary. That's right. It's not a command. I mean, it's not something Paul was putting on them. It's something they wanted to do. All right? What do you see in verse 8? Paul has talked about all these things, and now he's come to the example of Jesus. And what does he say about Jesus? Okay. Now, what was Jesus' condition at first? He was rich. I mean, all the glories of heaven. He created it all. He owns it all. He had everything in all the glories of heaven. And what did Jesus choose to do? By His own will, He chose to come to this earth, and He became what? Poor. Okay? Now, why did Jesus become poor? So we could be rich, right? And we are rich, aren't we? I mean, all the tremendous things God's done for us. We live in absolute, I mean, we are rich when we look at the tremendous grace of God upon our lives. Now, He left all of His riches to become poor so that we could become rich. All right? What else do you see? Well, basically what he talks about through here, we've already mentioned in verses 10 and 11, basically what he's talking about. Now, you've had the desire to do it. Now, do it. Have you ever maybe been in a service or sometime or someplace and there's a desire in your heart to give towards a certain thing and you think, man, I really want to do that. But then you look back months later and you never did anything about it. And so Paul's talking about here, the desire that you have, go ahead and do what you really want to do. All right? What do you see? Now notice again in verse 12, if the readiness is present, that is, if you have a desire to do it, then it's acceptable according to what a man has and not according to what he does not have. Now what does that mean? What's he talking about there?
You're going to get proportional to what you have.
That's right. Okay? If you have a desire to do it, God's going to accept what you have and not what you don't have. Now, can you give like a person that has maybe a $100,000 a year income? No. Okay? Is God upset with you because of that? Absolutely not. It's accepted. If you have a desire to help, then God's going to accept what you can do. All right? Now, why was Paul encouraging and excited about these people giving? Look at verse 13. Was it so that they could be afflicted? What's he striving for here? Equality. Right now, there's some people that have a real need. Now, he was not trying to get these people to give away everything they had so they would be in affliction. They were already in afflictions, incidentally. But he was not trying to add to that by getting them to give away everything they had so these people could have it easy. There are just times in your life that you're going to have and such that you can give to help someone else that has a need. Now, and then that will be reversed at times. Look at verse 14. At the present time, your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance may become a supply for your want, that there may be an equality. The day, the situation can change. And Paul, in the context here of those people helping the people in Thessalonica, now why were they, I mean, the people in Macedonia, the Thessalonica area, up around Philippi and in Corinth, they're taking up offering for the people in Jerusalem. Now, why are they doing that? What caused the need in Jerusalem? Why were they in need in Jerusalem? There was a famine going on. Well, there may later be a famine in Corinth. So their situation, sometimes it wasn't the people in Jerusalem's fault that there was a famine. It's not always that people have needs. It's due to their own irresponsibility. It may be some things like that. Okay? Now, I want you to turn to the next chapter. Incidentally, if we had time, Paul doesn't change subjects down through here. And that's not why we're skipping this. You'll see that he goes right on to talk with them about giving. But due to our time, in chapter 9, he says, for it's... begin to read with verse 5 and read the rest of chapter 9 and see what you see in these verses. Second Corinthians 9, verse 5 through the end of the chapter. Also jot down what principles you see there. Okay, take another couple of minutes. Okay. What do you see in verse 5? Okay. Now, it's okay to pledge money. And I want you, some of you, to see that. You may be in a church where there's pledging, and sometimes I've heard people say, well, I don't think that's biblical. Well, it can be. These people had promised to give. It was a previously promised, what other kind of gift was it? Previously promised, bountiful gift. These people had said they were going to do it. They'd already let it be known. That doesn't say an amount here, and I'm not saying that the people said that this is the amount I give, but they had promised that they were, they'd already promised that they were going to give that gift. So it's fine to do that. And one of the reasons for giving regularly is you don't want your giving money to stack up over here, because what's liable to eat away at it? According to this verse. Huh? Covetousness or greed. See, I mean, if you decided I'm going to save all my money and give it on the January 31st, and then your car breaks down, or this happens, or you need some clothes or something. That's one of the reasons I like to just get rid of it regularly, because I can decide what I'm going to give, and I can give, and I don't have to worry about covetousness eating away at it. Okay? And that's exactly what he told them to do. Go ahead, set it aside, get rid of it, don't let covetousness eat it away. All right? Paul is so practical. The Bible has a way of being that way. All right, what do you see in verse 6? Anything else you see in verse 5 or verse 6?
Giving is an investment with God.
Okay, giving is an investment with God. What does he say here? If you give little, what will happen? You're going to get little. Now, he's not talking about grace in other ways. He's talking about you're going to get little in the way of fruit. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? You go out and plant two seed of cotton. You're not going to have three stalks come up, right? So you're going to receive according to the way you give. If you give a little, you're going to have little fruit as a result of that. Okay? If you give much, you'll have much fruit. Now, what kind of fruit is it? What does your translation say? Somewhere along here you see it's a fruit of what? Or a harvest of what? What's it a harvest of? A harvest of righteousness. God can take money and give you a harvest of righteousness as a result of it. Okay, what else do you see in verse 7? Someone? Okay, one thing is you give cheerfully. You know what that word in the Greek is? It's a word from which we get hilarious. You know, something just hilarious. Cheerful. I mean, you know, just be a hilarious giver. It just tickles you to death to be able to give. See? Okay? What else you see in that verse? Give, so you give generously. All right, it's according to the purpose in your heart, isn't it? You've purposed in your heart. I want to help with this. I want to do something about that. So you give according to the purpose in your heart. Okay, what else?
It's a decision.
Okay, it's an individual decision. All right, it is an individual decision. Now, if you don't give, there's one way you don't give, and what's that? Grudgingly. Well, it's kind of like the guy pulls, he's in church one day and he pulls out a bill and, you know, he thinks he's putting in a dollar and as it goes on by him, he notices a five. And man, he just hates what happened. He probably got a dollar worth of credit with the Lord, I would think. But anyway, you don't give grudgingly and you don't do it under compulsion. I received a letter many, many years ago of a church, and it wasn't in Norman, but many, many years ago, a church I was a part, the pastor saying, if we don't do this, this is not going to happen. I mean, it was all just, we have got to do this. And I tossed it in the trash can. There was way too much compulsion in it. You don't give under compulsion. You don't give grudgingly either. Now, who does God love? Well, one of the things God loves. He loves a cheerful giver. Okay? Why do you think that is? Why do you think God loves a cheerful giver? I mean, this is a why question, not a what. The verse doesn't say. We're out of the verse now. We're trying to think. Okay? Why do you think God loves a cheerful giver?
Is that person who has God most in their mind? They're like, well, you know, I can save this money and buy a car or something like that. But their focus is more on what God's plan is.
Okay, good. Any other thoughts?
Giving from your heart.
Huh?
Giving it from your heart as opposed to
just passive. All right, it's flowing out of that abundant love, isn't it? And then you said.
He has faith that God's got better plans for that money than what he has.
Okay, all right, he's giving out of faith.
He wants compassion, not sacrifice.
Okay, good.
Because God is
a cheerful
giver.
What do you say?
God is a cheerful
giver. Okay, God's a cheerful giver. Did God have to send Jesus? Did He have to make this beautiful place for us? He didn't. God is a giving God, isn't He? Now, it's interesting. Look at the next verse. It says, God is able to make all grace abound to you. That is, He's talking about once you've given, God is able to make all grace abound to you. That you always, having all sufficiency in everything, you can have abundance for every good deed. Now, it's back to the faith that Todd and mentioned back here. The generousness is a matter of when you give, it's out of faith. And you believe because God is able then to make everything available that you need for food, for clothes, for ministry, and all of these things. Isn't that right? For God's able to make all grace abound towards you. That you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And you know, that's encouraging as I've thought and prayed over that verse summit. To think about when I see good works I want to have a part in. God has promised that the ones He wants me to have a part in, that He will provide so I can have a part in other good works. Okay? You see anything else here? Verse 9 or 10, he goes back to the story in the Old Testament. And then in verse 10, he says, now he supplies seed to the sower, he supplies bread for food, and he will multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So when we're generous givers, God is able to provide what we need to use ourselves for food, for our expenses, but also for seed, that you plant, that brings a harvest of righteousness. So he'll provide for you, but he'll also provide for your giving and for your ministry. What do you see in verse 11? A couple of things there. What do you see? Okay?
It's maybe reading a little bit to you, but it seems that as God gives you more riches, it makes you more rich. He intends that you be too more rich so that you can give more.
Okay? And I think God does that. Okay, what else? What do you see?
Verse.
All right. That's one of the reasons to give, isn't it? Because God gets thanks. Some of you had some people helped you to come here, and many of you've already given testimonies of how you thank God for that. And you thank the Lord for what someone did to help you. Okay? What else you see in that verse? What about you? If you give. Okay. You're going to be enriched. Doesn't mean that you will be rich, but you will be enriched. Because you're trusting God. You're willing to give. You're not just trying to cling on to everything you have. You're going to trust Him. And so you're giving. You're trying to help other people. And God's going to enrich your life as a result of it. You will be enriched. Okay, now notice the thing Lenore mentioned here about thanksgiving to God in verse 11. He says in verse 12, it not only supplies the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing through your thanksgiving to God. You see that at the last phrase of verse 11? Thanksgiving to God. I have a New American Standard. Yours may not be exactly that way, but it's producing thanksgiving to God. Verse 12. Many are giving thanksgivings to God. Now, what do you see in verse 13? Okay. You're going to give thanks to God, brings glory to God. People are going to glorify God as a result of what you've done. Now, what do you see in verse 14? What else?
I think we find the heart reason why we give. He says, Lord, long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. But then in verse 15, he ends it with an exclamation mark. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And you'll notice in the beginning of chapter 8, he begins, you want to know, brethren, about the grace of God, which has been shown in the churches of Macedonia. About all this idea of giving, it's because of God's grace that we give.
Okay, good. All right, great. Now, what also happens when you're a generous person and you give? There's something else there in verse 14.
I think it spurs others to continue their walk with God.
Okay. And what else? There's something here I think I want you to see. All right. People are going to pray for you. That's one thing that happens. People pray. I know... We pray for people at the BSU that give, and you can ask these staff people. And I know years ago, as people would give to us on a monthly basis, we had a little box on our table. And at mealtime, we would pray for those different people. Because I think when people give to you, you have an obligation to also try to minister to them. They're giving part of their life to you because money is coined life. That's what it is. If you go out here and work an hour, let's suppose you make $5 an hour and you give $5 to something, you gave an hour of your life. So money is coined to life. When people give money to you, they're giving a part of their life. And one of the things you can do is pray for them. Now, I want you to remember 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Isn't it interesting that how much space Paul gives just talking about this offering? And then if you'll remember 1 Corinthians 16, 2, and you'll remember those two, that one verse, 1 Corinthians 16, 2 and 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, you will be in good standing all your life knowing what the Bible basically has to say about giving. Isn't it fun kind of to do Bible study? And see, that's a Bible study. And you begin to notice, well, he mentions thanksgiving in verse 11 and he mentions it again in verse 12. And as Curtis back here kind of summarized, as he saw the grace of God mentioned here in 8:1 and then how he comes back to that. So you see these things again and again. So I hope that will be helpful to you. Now, I want to share some projects with you that we do at the BSU. This is not exactly the same context as they were taking up an offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem. But there are principles that you draw from the scriptures that can help in other areas. And so I want to list some things that we want to do in the way of our ministry at the University of Oklahoma. And those of you that are here from other campuses, those of you from the University of New Mexico, I'll say a few words to you about some of the projects you have in mind. Those of you that are guests, if you're from other campuses or other places or maybe projects that you would want to have a part in, and if anyone wants to help with any of these, you're welcome to, but want you to know that this is basically for the University of Oklahoma crew. Okay? Now, one of the things that we've done through the years, when we come to these beautiful grounds, a lot of people come here year by year, and they don't really contribute anything in a lasting way to the place. And they pay their bills and that's it. So one of the things that we've been doing for a number of years, because we had talked with them years ago, one of the things they do not have money for normally in situations like this is to do decorative things and things that help in that way. So one of the things we've done each year is we take the pictures that Larry Dyke has painted from the time we're here until we come the next year, and we purchase those at just exactly what they cost us as far as the framing and everything, and give those to the Glen. If you've looked around the Glen, you'll see many of them. They have probably about 65 of the pictures that he's done at this point. You might want to come by and take a look at these later, but $725 for that. Another thing, at the Glen, or at our retreat center back in Norman, there's the trailer house, which is in the process of being redecorated. We have the swimming pool, which will be open. We had a deal before that if you wanted to go out just on a Sunday afternoon or sometime, it's costing you a dollar. That's the hassle. So we want to be able to give $100 a month to the retreat center, which means you can go out there any time, like on a Sunday afternoon. The trailer house is going to be open. It's going to be open on Saturday. Now, sometimes there'll be a group in there because that trailer house is never used for anyone except the OU group. Now, if you go in the other buildings to spend the night, you can be in the new lodge or any of the buildings, whichever one that they assign to you. If a student's there, it's $6 a night. If your Bible study wants to have the trailer house to itself, for $10, you can rent the whole trailer house for a Friday night, Saturday, whatever, for your Bible study. It only costs you $10. Now this, what we're talking about, is not when you're going out there with a group for a retreat. That means if you want to go on the grounds, if you want to get out there some afternoon and just go out and read your Bible, the trailer house, the restroom there is always available, such that many times there are people in the other houses, but the trailer house is always available. We have a heated swimming pool there. If you want to go out like on Saturday, just a group of you go out. You can get in the trailer house. You can read. You can pray. We'll have a video player out there. If you want to go out and watch a movie or something like that, you can do that. If you want to take a swim, you can. And instead of dollaring people to death, we'd rather let's give the retreat center $100 a month. And this way you can use it as much as you want to. Is that understood? Now, when you go out there, you don't go into other houses unless you're actually signed up for a retreat for that, because there may be people there. But the bathhouse is available, and the trailer house as far as a restroom, so you can go out there. And I hope you will. As you've heard about spending time with the Lord, go out there. Just be around on the grounds. You can get in the trailer house and just to go out to spend time with the Lord. Okay? Another thing we want to do, there's a Thailand project this year. Those of you that are praying and seriously thinking about going to Thailand, would you please stand? You may not know for sure, but these are the ones that are considering, and Denise Boyd has been there before, so she will be taking a group to Thailand, and we want to help every one of those people that go $200 apiece. We thought there'd be about 10. If it happens to be 11, well, we'll give them $2,200. But we want to help at least $200 apiece, and that's what we'll do as a group. There may be others of you that will be giving to some of these people, giving straight to them, and you can do that. We would encourage you to do that. But as a group, as the money comes in our little cooperative program here, the way we divide it up, we will give $200 to each one of those people that go. It looks like it'll cost them about $1,800 to be able to go. But they'll be going over there to minister for the summer for about 6 weeks. Also, we want to give $5,500 to our state mission offering. The reason for that is the BSUs from all over Oklahoma give, and we will send out many, many missionaries. Now, those of you that have already been appointed, you're going as a BSU summer missionary on one of the projects this summer. Would you please stand? Tell us where you're going. Shelly, where are you going? Okay, she's going to Mexico City to work for a week with Lloyd Mann, University of Mexico. There are only 350,000 students in that university. Okay, so you can pray for her. Okay. Kathy's going to Denver. Incidentally, Scott Haddon is leading that project. They'll be going up to meet with a new church that's just started, helping there. They'll spend a couple of days with Mike Wells, and then they'll be over at Frank Tillipaw's church. So these are some weak projects. Okay? Indianapolis. All right?
Washington, D.C.
Denver.
Mexico City.
Mexico City.
Indianapolis.
Denver.
Houston.
Okay? Now, we will be helping to pay those people's way. And one of the things we want to do is to be a part, and we're encouraged with what's going on in our state now, and that we're able to put together some projects like this one that Scott will be taking 10 students. 4 of them will be from OU, and 6 will be from other schools in the state. So we want to help fund that project. There are other schools in the state that probably even give more to that project than we do, and so we do want to have a good testimony at that point. Now, everything that comes in over that, that's about $9,425, if I remember correctly, something like that. Everything that comes in over that, we want to give 1/3 to staff salaries. The people own the staff at OU. Scott, Dennis, Denise, Linda, Dave, George, Ted. Who have I left out? Anyway, they raise about 3/4 of their own salary. We have a tremendous system. We go offer a person to come to work with us and then say, you can raise 3/4 of it. Well, these people have to raise that money. In other words, for them to be there, they have to trust God, and people give to them. Now, some of you may want to have a part in that. Some of you may say, hey, I'm on so-and-so's team. I'd like to give $5 a month. I could do that. I'd like to help Scott and Pam, or I'd like to help George and Val, or Ted and Debbie, or whoever. I would like to help these people. Now, whatever comes in over that, 1/3 of the money, and incidentally this year, you gave about $2,000 to the staff from what you pledged last year that went on their checks. And I know they're grateful for that. And then the retreat center, we want to do some things to continue help at the retreat center. Now, one of the reasons we come here each year is because, for several reasons. One is because of the quality of speakers we can have. If we go to flying all those people into Norman, it costs a lot of money. Also, we have tremendous facilities here. Plus, it's Colorado. Plus, skiing. So there's some good reasons to come here. Now, it may surprise you But a lot of people like to come to Norman, Oklahoma. Kids in Colorado, some of them have never been to the Flatlands. And so some of them want to come to Oklahoma. Fact is, week after next, there will be a group of students from the University of from USC in California. They're driving from USC to Norman for their spring break. There's also... Weird things do happen. There's also a group from Irvine. Do you know the main reason they're coming to Oklahoma? Well, they're going to spend some time at Hope Baptist Church. They're going to go by there. And then one of the reasons they're coming is because they can have Carolyn Teague to speak to them, and Dave Edwards and Scott and the staff can go out there, just as we have people that are working over here at the office. They'll come over here and lead a workshop and then go back to work. And because of the resources in the Norman area, one day they're going to go up and spend some time with Gene Warr and with Ken Humphreys. And so God is doing something in Norman so that some people can come there and get some help. There's also a group from, and Ted has been planning their program from the University of Nebraska during their spring break. They'll be out at the retreat center. So we want to do some things to help with that. Also then, the other one third would go for some projects for the BSU. I don't know if you know this, but for about every $1 the churches give us, it usually takes about $3 from the alums and other people just to help us to have the kind of program that we have. From what we get from the churches today, we do not have one single penny to pay the other one-fourth of any one of these staff members' salaries. And so that comes in from alums and other people that give. Okay? One other thing I want you to consider, and that is that if you would take one half a day at the retreat center each semester, just one half a day, 3 hours to work, and we'll try to do that this spring. We'll have staff members and different ones. We may do this some by teams, but where we'd go out to the retreat center, like on Saturday, if you wanted to work from 9 to 12, there's a great deal to do out there. And one of the things we're trying to do is keep the overhead down. We only have one full-time employee out there, and that's Bill Young. When you come up here, there's some 60-something right here on the grounds. And so we have one. And so we need to do some things to help. And that's one of the reasons we can keep the cost down so people can come to our retreat center. And so we would like some people who could work. Like if you can come, if you could work from 9 to 12, then we'll feed you lunch from 12 to 1. The group that's working from 1 to 4 would come out at 12 and have lunch together. So the two groups could eat together. And then one group can leave and the other one could come. So if you would do that, just if you would try to set aside some time between now and the time school's out for one work day and then do that next fall, we would really appreciate it. So we're going to pass out some 3x5 cards. So fellas, if you'll do that. And here's what we want you to do. I want you to take these 3x5 cards. I want you to write your name on them. Two addresses. Write your school address at the top. Write your home address or your permanent address or where you think you'll be this summer at the bottom. Okay? And then here's what we want you to do. We want you to take this card with you. In a few moments, we're going to send you out to spend some time with the Lord. We want you to pray about what you will do regarding these projects. Some of you here could give $100. We're talking about not just giving the money here, but from now until we come to the Glen next year, you can give this money. You might want to do it on a monthly basis. I would encourage you, when you have a few dollars ahead and you buy the BSU, give it to Barbara and say, "This is for my Glen pledge." Get rid of it so covetousness doesn't get it. But you determine what you could do. Some of you could give $100. Some of you could give $200. Some of you, maybe all you think you could do between now and next year is $20. Some of you will be working this summer and you could give. Now, we don't want what you give to your church. We want you to continue to help with your church where you go. But you pray about that. And when you go out, you pray about what you want to do, and then you write down on the card the amount. You just, on the back side of it, just write the amount that you will try to give between now and this time next year. Okay? Now, if you can, some of you give part of it at least as soon as you can, because these summer projects will be coming up. And when they go to Thailand, we hope to have the money for them. All right? Now, I want to say this to you. The other thing. You're going to go out now to spend some time with the Lord. I don't need to say much about that. I think you know basically what to do. I would encourage you, if you have your notes, to go back and start reading your notes from the first night when Jeff Lewis spoke to us. You may want to underline some things. I like to take a sheet of paper and go through all my notes. I may underline things, and then I come back and I try to summarize on one sheet of paper what God has said to me. Some things that I can pray over, and I can have that one sheet I can pray over and think about what I've learned or what God has primarily said to me. Now, when we leave this room in a few minutes, I want you to go out from here, nobody talking. Unless you just have to say something to someone, we'd like to just leave in complete silence. We want you to go somewhere where you can be alone with the Lord. You can read over your notes. You can pray. If you're where you can, where you don't disturb someone, you can sing. I'd encourage you not to try to hike to the top, because you won't have any time left to spend with the Lord. I would encourage you to just scatter, be alone. Some of you may want to turn your chair to the wall if there are more than one of you in a room. Be quiet, be considerate, and you'll have about an hour and 30 minutes, 35 minutes that you can spend with the Lord. You can read, you can pray. You've already heard a great deal this week that you can do to be able to do that. Now, I want to say for the group from the University of New Mexico that's here, I think you have, you're trying to raise $6,000, isn't that right? You have how many? 10 missionaries going out? Okay. Those of you from the University of New Mexico, I hope you will help with that project. Okay? All right. Before we meet again tonight, there's another announcement too that needs to be made. One is strip your beds. Just pile them in the floor, not outside the room. But if you would do that, just take the linens off, pile them in the middle of the floor. Leave your keys in the room. Please check. Don't go home with your keys. And the other thing we want you to do now is you need to pack and have your stuff packed and sitting outside wherever you live at 3:30. The buses are going to be here. We're going to load up the buses this afternoon. So you need to be dressed with whatever you're going to wear on the bus tonight when you come to the meeting tonight. So you want to get packed. Now, don't forget we're going to have the picture out here at 2. Now, in order not to take so much time, when we assemble for the picture, let's take a serious picture, no funny faces. At the end, we'll let you have a funny face and we'll take a funny one. But we do like to have a picture of those that are here each year. That'll be at 2 o'clock. Okay? Any other question? Now, this is the time for you. For some of you, in the next hour and 45 minutes, you're going to think it's a week, because you've never spent that much time. Remember, you can read the Bible. You can pray. Don't get comfortable. Don't lay down on the bed. Stay off of the couches, probably. If you get sleepy, get up and walk around. You can read walking. But try to spend this time as profitably as you can. Spend some time in thanksgiving, praising the Lord, going over some verses, going over your notes. But when you come back, we want you to have nailed down what God has said to you while you're here at the Glen. Okay, let's have a word of... Yes? What do you say?
You never said
I'm sorry? Bring the cards back with you when we come to the meeting tonight. So you pray. Now, how does God speak to you? It's usually through thoughts in your mind. So you ask the Lord, Lord, what would you want me to do towards these projects? Would you want me to have a part in them? If so, what do you want me to do? And then you think, what can I do between now and this time next year? And write that on a card. Now, we don't come at you and choke you. If you can't do that, that's between you and the Lord. But we do want to encourage you to decide before the Lord and to try to do that. Dennis?
You can bring your buttons back and stick it in the little box.
Right. The buttons, your little buttons. Now, if you're a senior, if you're going to be back next year, leave your button. But if you're a senior, as far as you know, you won't be back to the Glen next year, then you can have your button, and we'd appreciate your taking it. We don't have to thumb through so many that way. But if you're not a senior, we want you tonight when you come to put your buttons in a little box out here. Anything else? Okay, let's have a word of prayer together, and then we'll go meet with the Lord. Father, thank you for your word and just what we've discovered in it this morning. And I pray that these truths will be something that will help to guide us all the days of our lives. Father, thank you that we can take our money and we can see fruits of righteousness as a result of that. Now, Lord, you've said many things to us here this week. And now we want to go aside. We want some time to pray. We want to think. We want to see what you've said to us. We want to try to nail some things down. We know when we get on the buses tonight to go back that we're facing a world out there that's hostile to some of the things that we've experienced here. And Father, we want some things, one or two things perhaps, that we're going to do as a result of our time here. Father, thank you for this time. And I pray for each one as we go, that it will be a time in which we will meet with you. In Jesus' name, amen.